Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
You know, there's times where all of us have, where we have to make a bunch of phone calls, and it's so frustrating making phone calls and just hearing the phone ring and ring and ring and ring. Or having to make phone calls, and every time you call, it's busy all day long. What did they do? Take the phone off the hook? Others kindly have an answer machine. I think they have it so that they can screen calls, right? So that they don't have to get on the phone, pick it up, and say, no, I do not want my carpets cleaned. Or, no, I do not want to extend my telephone warranty, or my car warranty, rather. And not only that, I don't even have a car warranty. The frustrating thing about answering phones. There are people that have answering phones and they have messages on them like, hello, and then they pause and wait for you to say, hey, how you doing? And then they go on with their message, the dirty dogs, right? But at least they have the courtesy to have a message machine. Other people, they should have the honesty to say, hello, I have this message machine because I'm screening your call. And if I happen to want to talk to you, I'll pick up. If not, tough luck. Or there are people like two members of my family that have messages on their voicemail that says, leave a message and I might call you back. Yeah, you call your number and see what you said. At least they're honest, right? Now, seriously, every time we got a message on our voicemail or on our answering machine, we have a decision to make. What are we going to do with that message? In fact, life is full of decisions, isn't it? We have decisions all day long. What are we going to wear tonight to this service? Where are we going to go to eat? What are we going to eat when we get there? What kind of job are we going to particularly accept, okay, if you're out there looking for jobs? And what kind of offer are you going to accept? Or what are we going to purchase a car right now, or should we wait a while? What about a house? Should we refinance? Should I read my Bible today and pray, or should I just wait until tomorrow? You see, we all are faced with decisions in our lives. But there is one important decision that every one of us are faced with. And we have to make that decision today. It's the same decision that each person in the crowd, in the text that we're going to study today, had to make. They were faced with this same decision. Pilate said to them in Matthew 27:22, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we explore your word today and we understand more deeply and fully the story of the crucifixion, O Lord, that we would commit afresh our hearts, our lives, to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are confronted with these questions that come right out of your scriptures, Lord, that you would speak those questions into our lives very personally, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What will you do with Jesus who is called Christ? We're going to examine this important question today, and this is a life-changing question. This is the most important question we will ever face in our lives. Our text actually presents us with three important questions, and we're going to examine each one of them honestly. The first question that we're confronted with is, who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to me? Now, Jesus has had his last supper with his disciples. They went to the upper room, and they shared that supper together. Then they went from there to the garden at Gethsemane. And there in the garden, he prayed. He sought the Lord. His disciples were sleeping. And then they were awakened with the sound of the soldiers coming, and Judas approached him, betraying him with a kiss. They were taken there from the garden. Jesus was taken to the high priest on trumped-up charges. He was beaten there and roughed up by them. And there, you'll remember, that Peter denied Jesus three times. And the rooster crowed. And from there, they took Jesus and they brought him before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And he asked Jesus some things about himself. He asked Jesus some things about his kingdom. Now, Jesus knew exactly who he was. Remember the famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." Yet Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. And he knew why he came into the world. He came into the world to bear witness to the truth. He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, how about you? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you really know who Jesus is? Because you have to have a relationship with someone to really know them. I have a relationship with my wife. I know her favorite restaurants. When we go to the restaurant, I can just tell her, "Why don't you go sit down? I'll order for you, okay?" Because I already know what she's going to order there. I know what she wants. I know what she likes. I know she likes gardening. I know she likes cooking. I know she likes chocolate. Any surprise? I know a lot of her favorite vacation spots. I know the books that she likes to read. But who is Jesus to you? And if you do know Jesus, let me ask you, do other people know that you know Jesus? Do they think, "Oh yeah, that person knows Jesus"? Why? Because of the way they speak, the life they live, the things they do. Do they know that you know Jesus? That's important. Do we know Jesus? When they put Jesus upon the cross, they nailed a sign above his head, and the sign said, "This is the King of the Jews." So is Jesus your king? Is he the king of your life? Is he your savior? Is he your Lord? Does Jesus rule your life? That's our first question. Who is Jesus to you? Secondly, who will you choose to follow? Oh, it gets a little more personal now. Now it's not just about, well, who is he? But now, who will you choose to follow? In our text in Matthew chapter 27, it begins in verse 11, and it says, "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' So Jesus said to him, 'It is as you say.' And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. And now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have just suffered many things today in a dream because of him.' But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.'" Several times, Pilate tries to evade this question. He tries to persuade them to do something else, to choose someone else. The choice is between Barabbas and between Jesus. And the people chose Barabbas. Barabbas, he's an interesting character. He was arrested for what? For leading a revolt and committing murder in that revolt. Barabbas, an interesting name. History tells us that his first name may have been Jesus. His last name was Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the father. Bar Abba. Barabbas, son of the father. Jesus, son of the father. Thus, Jesus, Barabbas, son of the father. Full of violence, full of control, full of hatred and murder. And standing beside Barabbas is Jesus, the one called Christ. Jesus, son of the heavenly Father. Jesus, full of love, full of mercy, full of peace, full of joy, and full of grace. Who will the people choose? Will they choose violence or love? Will they choose hatred or grace? Will they choose mercy or murder? Will they choose control or will they choose life? The crowd cries out for Barabbas. And this same crowd, just days earlier, just a couple of days earlier, these same people were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, casting their cloaks before Jesus, waving their palms in the air before Jesus. This same crowd that cried out, they wanted Barabbas. And what happened? They want Jesus to die. But why the change? What happened that they would change their hearts and their minds so quickly? What happened? They were disappointed. They were disappointed. And today, it's just like it was back then. There are two men who call themselves Jesus. And they want to control your life. They want to control my life. And the same choice confronts each one of us. Who will we choose? Will we choose Barabbas or will we choose Jesus? Will we choose the flesh or will we choose the spirit? Will we choose death or will we choose life? The same choice we have. Because Barabbas, he appeals to our flesh. He smells good. He looks good. He tastes good. He feels good. Oh, we love Barabbas. Our flesh wants Barabbas. Our flesh wants those natural things because those are the things that look good to our senses. But Jesus Christ, he appeals to our spirit. Oh, yeah, he's the one that gives us peace. He's the one that gives us that peace that passes all understanding. Jesus leads us on the path of life, and he gives us joy deep, deep within ourselves. Barabbas takes the sword of iron, and he does his own will. And Jesus, he takes the sword of the Spirit, and he submits his will to the will of the Father. But Barabbas and Jesus, the choice is still for you and I today. Barabbas, the flesh, Jesus, the spirit. Barabbas, murder, our own way. Jesus, love, God's way. The choice is still there. 2,000 years ago, the people were faced with a choice, and today, you and I are faced with that choice. The same choice. It hasn't changed. Who will we choose to follow? That's the question. Who are we going to choose to follow? Because if we ignore the poor, we ignore the hungry, we ignore our brother, our sister that has need, we've just chosen to follow Barabbas. If we abuse our life, the life that God has given us as a gift, if we abuse the gifts, the talents that he has given to us and waste it on the world, who have we chosen to follow? Jesus? No, Barabbas. If we go the way of the world, if we follow all of the worlds and the worldly pleasures and the sensuality of this world, who do we choose? Are we following Jesus? No. We've chosen to follow Barabbas. If we give in to our fleshly desires, we make a choice. We have chosen, just like they in the crowd that day chose. I want Barabbas. Let me follow Barabbas. I don't want Jesus. We make that same choice. But oh, that we would make the choice, each one of us here today, that our hearts would cry out differently, that our song of praise, that our words of prayer would be different, that we wouldn't choose Barabbas, but we would choose Jesus. Just give me Jesus. In the morning when I wake, give me Jesus. When I'm alone and there's nobody around, give me Jesus. In the day I come to my last day on earth. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world and all that Barabbas wants to give, but give me Jesus. That's our heart's cry, amen? So we must ask ourselves, who is Jesus to us? Who is Jesus Christ to me personally? And then we have to ask ourselves the second question, who do I choose to follow? Because no one can force you to follow Jesus. Jesus won't even force you to follow Jesus. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to follow him. No one can take your hand and pull you along. Not even Christ will do that. So who am I choosing to follow with my life? So Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, the Christ? And they said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be upon us and our children. And then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And then they spat on him and they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and they put on his own clothes and led him away to be crucified. And that's where we are. We're faced with our third question. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Can you imagine the surprise that Pilate had that day? That they would choose Barabbas over Jesus? He never imagined. As you read the different Gospels, on three different times, Pilate tries to succeed in getting them not to make that choice. He tries to talk them out of it. He knew that he had committed no crime. Surely they would choose Christ, but instead they cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And the Jewish people had a custom to wash their hands with water when they determined that they were guilty of the decisions and the crimes that someone else had committed. But no matter how hard Pilate tried to wash his hands, he could not wash himself of the guilt of the blood of this innocent man, Jesus. So this is our same problem today, each one of us. Each of us have chosen Barabbas at different points of our lives. Every one of us here, we've made that choice. We have chosen Barabbas. When we've taken what doesn't belong to us, we've chosen Barabbas. When we've lied about something, no matter how small or how big, we've chosen Barabbas. When we've spoken an unkind word, we've chosen Barabbas. When we've desired something that isn't ours to desire, we've chosen Barabbas. When we've lost our temper, we've chosen Barabbas. Each one of us, we have chosen Barabbas. And that's why Jesus came and died on the cross, didn't he? He came and died on the cross because he took our place. He took the wrath of God for our sins. And what's amazing when you look at this story is 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the place of Barabbas. I don't know if he ever fully understood that, but Jesus died in Barabbas's place. And when you and I, by faith, trust in him for our salvation, Jesus dies in your place. for the sins that we've committed, for the times when we have chosen the way of Barabbas to follow him. Pilate made his investigations. He asked his questions. He had enough information to make the right choice, but he refused to make a decision. And each one of us here, there probably is no one here that hasn't heard enough about Jesus Christ to make a decision about Jesus. Not anyone here. How many more things do you need to know? How much more information did Pilate need to know? Nothing. And he chose to try to make no decision at all. You may admire Jesus. You may know some things about Jesus. But one thing is certain, you cannot remain neutral about the person of Jesus Christ. You may try, but to make no decision for Jesus is to choose Barabbas. You have a choice: Jesus, life, truth, mercy, love, justice, grace, or Barabbas. Your own way. Murder, hatred, sin, the way of the flesh, the way of the world. We each have that choice. We each must ask ourselves, what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? Will I accept him or reject him? And that's the decision each one of us are faced with today. We may try to wash our hands of him. We may try to just say that we don't want to have to deal with it. But we have to choose. Are we going to worship him freely and accept his blood as payment for our sins? Now, I want to encourage you today, every one of us, this is a day of any day of the whole year to really recommit our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ. Here is the day. It's approaching almost 5 o'clock, an hour and a half after Jesus has breathed his last breath and given up his spirit. And they've taken the body down from the cross by now. And they're getting ready to lay it into a tomb. What better day than today to recommit our hearts and our lives, to say, yes, Lord, I will follow Jesus. What will I do with Jesus Christ? I will receive him as my Lord, as my Savior. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.